We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome to Proof to Product. You are in for a fun episode today. I have Juliana and Ryan Kissick from Good Juju Inc. on the show. Good Juju Inc. was founded in 2014 by Juliana, and the company is now run by a trio of business partners that include Juliana, Ryan, and Marina Libin. The company sells a wide range of desk stationery, home goods, and gift items through both wholesale and retail channels. Juliana, Ryan, and Marina attended our PaperCamp conference in 2018, and it has been so fun to watch their business blossom. They are selling to stores throughout the world, working with sales reps, and they've incorporated give-back programs into their business model. On today's episode, we're talking about the beginnings of Good Juju Inc., challenges they've faced as the business has grown, how they divide responsibilities among three business partners, and we talk about the 18 million thanks campaign. This is a program that they launched earlier this year to send handwritten thank you notes to America's 18 million healthcare workers. All right, let's dive into today's show with Juliana and Ryan of Good Juju Inc. Hey, Juliana. Hey, Ryan. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yay! We're so excited.
Thanks so much for having us.
It's my pleasure. I will say, too, for our listeners, we have been going around in circles with scheduling this because you guys were supposed to come on in the early days when COVID was like crashing down on us. And then there were other things happening in the world where it just didn't feel like we could sit down and have a good conversation. So now, I mean, things are certainly not back to normal right now, but at the same time, it's just amazing to see your faces. And I'm excited to talk to you about this beautiful business you've grown and what you're doing to continue to give back in so many different ways. So thank you for your patience with me and thank you for being here today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. And yes, I'm glad we are kind of, not that we're on the other side of all this, but we have had some practice here in this new chapter,
to say the least.
We were not going to let a pandemic stop us from getting on Proof to Product. I think when you think about the important things in life, absolutely, this was not going to get in our way.
Well, thank you, Ryan, for making us a priority. I appreciate making me a priority. All right, well, let's start. I want to start with kind of like the background on the business and how it got started. Kick it off by telling us, what is your why behind the brand and the products that you make?
Oh my gosh. This was a beautiful, happy accident. I was actually in the midst of writing and pitching a children's book in New York. And I had really gone around the ringer doing that for maybe 6 months. And I had gotten an email from my literary agent saying, well, you know, we keep getting this feedback that rhyming isn't in right now for children's literature. And I almost just buried a hole in the ground and called it quits then and there. It's like, how is that a legitimate response?
Right. Oh my gosh.
And so actually what I did to control myself, I went to a stationery store and I started reading greeting cards, that the beloved greeting card wall of emotional therapy. And I picked one up and it was so cute. It was so adorable. It was actually a card from Fat Bunny Press by Eva Hamden. She was a stationery show presenter for a couple of years. And I believe that it may have been in an Urban Outfitters. It may have been their card wall that I was in, but it was her card. And I picked it up and I turned it around and it said, made in San Francisco, Fat Bunny Press. And I was like, you know, I wonder if I could do this. You know, I love to illustrate. I'm a writer. This kind of combines everything I love in life. And I have been a devoted greeting card sender and recipient, pen pal my entire life. I wonder if, you know, this could be something that I learned to do. And, I actually did find Eva's email address on the internet that night, sent her an email. She responded immediately and we were having lunch in San Francisco the next week.
That's amazing.
Isn't that incredible? And we became actually dear friends, and she actually encouraged us, me and then ultimately us, Ryan and Marina, to do this National Stationery Show, because she had done it and she was giving us kind of, you know, like a little bit of the first year advice. And I have to tell you, so Ryan was actually in business school at the time, and Stanford Business School, and that program very much focusing obviously on tech there, you know, there in Silicon Valley. And here I am investigating how to make greeting cards in the biggest, you know, digital boom our world has yet known. So it felt so silly. And I had three designs that I had made by hand, you know, because I'm an old school artist. And I knew that I was going to need help transitioning from being an old school artist to a graphic design artist. But really, when I came home, you know, with these three designs to Ryan after he'd come back from business school, he's like, you know, I do think you have something here, like the concept of good juju, of spreading good juju. And actually, sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. This is totally how my brain works.
I'm captivated, and I have a follow-up question for Ryan already, but carry on.
Oh my God, amazing. So I, first of all, I had to tell our printer. It took me months to find a printer that wasn't just like a middleman that finds the printer for you. That, oh my gosh, really, like, learning about that whole part of things was very challenging. But I had decided to move up to live with Ryan in business school after I had lost a pilot series for Nickelodeon. I had filmed and taped. I was starring in a show, kid show. It was a dream of mine to do a kid show. And it makes total sense that I ended up going into greeting cards and children's illustration, or not so much children's, but the world of Universal Illustration. But I had so had it with the entertainment industry in terms of, you know, things being really abusive. And this is obviously way before the Me Too movement, and really before like social justice had penetrated all the industries that it needed to. And I wanted to do something that spread goodness. And again, being in that stationery store with the card wall right there, feeling so empowered not to have to rely on stupid publishers or a casting director. It was like, no, you know, my nickname has been Juju since my half sister called me. She couldn't say Juliana. She could only say Juju. And actually that Silver Linings Playbook, that movie where they talk about good Juju. If I ever had a company, I think I would name it Good Juju. So all these like things coming together, Brian came home from business school one day and was like, I think you really have something here, you know, creating products that truly spread goodness in and out, you know, from inception to manufacturing to, you know, how you would conduct business and all these sort of little pieces of magic along the way. I know he was exhausted by how much business was focusing on things we couldn't hold and see and touch. And yeah, he's like, I think you could really build something beautiful here and there. Would you allow me to be a part of the process? And I was like, yeah.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Okay.
I have so many thoughts right now. I have so many thoughts right now.
Ryan, I was going to ask you. I'm like, okay, Juliana comes home and she's like, hey, I want to do this thing that's totally a 360 from what I've been focused on.
Yeah,
what was going through your head? Because I can tell you what's going through my husband's head when I come home with these ideas.
Mm-hmm. So to answer that question directly, I was really excited. But let me tell you, so, and for all you listeners, I think you may have gathered, we are married.
Yes.
At the time. We were boyfriend, girlfriend. And sometimes you get different perspectives in a relationship and in business. And I think that'll be a theme of this. But what I want to say is I absolutely agree that Juliana had, when's the last time I called you Juliana? Not when, unless I'm upset. Juju had some wonderful, wonderful ideas. I really did love the design she had. And I love the concept she had for building this business that's about spreading joy and positivity in a world that desperately needs more of that, especially physical products that she mentioned. What I will say is, you know, she had this concept. She was, I think, I love you, honey. She paints a little bit more of a rosy picture of how seamlessly it went. It actually came home and she was like, how do I get this in? How do I sell it? How do I get a business going? What do I do? What do I price? Oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. And I was like, let's take a deep breath. First thing first, we need to understand how we're actually going to create the product. Yeah. So let's find out, how do we get this design that's so beautifully hand-drawn with pencils, colored pencils, into the computer.
Yeah, no, I actually did ask our printer. I had done months of research. Ryan was like, I don't even know what she's doing on a daily basis. She's like driving into San Francisco, talking to going to the industry, like South San Francisco, going into these giant warehouses, talking to dudes who did not know how to handle juju. I come in with a bright pink coat and giant cat glasses. And I was like, hey, everybody, how do I do this? I literally said to the printer, here are my drawings. How do I physically get these into the computer? And he was like, I can't.
He's like, nope, that's hard.
Like, nope. And I was like, please. He's like, oh, okay. You have half an hour of my time and we'll see if you can figure it out.
Let me just quickly fast forward for those. a quick exciting note is, I guess, two things. One, for all of you out there, you can get started with very little background and knowing and just learn along the way. Two, for that printer who put in the time, we did end up sending batch letterpress runs of thousands and thousands of cards after, this is fast forward a little bit, but it can be worth it to invest the time to figure out how to do these things, because he probably said, oh my God, what are these people doing? And ultimately we ended up hopefully making up for the investment in time to get it into the computer. So
yeah, we gave him a nice chunk of change eventually.
Well, and you guys know my whole business and our whole culture behind our community at Proof to Product is about sharing and lifting each other up. And that includes our time and our knowledge, right? Yeah. I am eternally grateful to Chelsea Shukov from Sugar Paper, because she did a coffee date with me in, I think, 2007 when I was trying to figure it out for my brand, which, I was buying my envelopes at Paper Source.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
I didn't know where to get these.
We totally did that too.
Yeah. And so many of our listeners are probably shaking their head yes, I did similar, I made similar mistakes along the way, but it's when we continue to give back and when we continue to turn around and grab everybody and lift them up to where we are that our industry will thrive, our individual businesses will thrive. It just makes for so much it's just a better experience for all of us, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Ryan's let's not put the cart before the horse here.
Yes, let's take a deep breath.
Let's take this one step at a time. How, you have a business partner, so there's three of you that run the business. Marina's your third business partner. How did you three come together? And then I'd like to kind of dive into how you split responsibilities too.
Absolutely. And Ryan, I promise, I swear I'm going to let you talk for more than 10 seconds. I just wanted to say, honestly, from a listener perspective, what felt the least overwhelming to me in those early stages when I had just locked in my printer and I had taken an Adobe workshop about literally how to upload my hand drawings into a computer, the least overwhelming platform for selling in my perspective at that time was getting on Etsy. And I had literally three designs. And Ryan's like, you should launch your store. And I said, but I have three designs. He's like, you're never going to feel ready. Why don't you just do this with three designs? And that was honestly the best piece of advice I think I've gotten in this entire early trajectory. It was just start, because you aren't going to be good at this. And I think that was so important to hear. You cannot be good at this from the start. If you are, something funky is going on and or this is not your first go at the rodeo, but if it is, it is important not to be good at this and know that and be like, okay, I'm measuring success by a variety of different measures, but selling a bunch right away, making a bajillion dollars, that's not going to be it. What I'm measuring success by is creating a space where I can legally sell, have a transaction of product, and somebody actually enjoys what I make. And so getting those three designs on an Etsy store where it's I didn't have to have an LLC. I didn't have to, we eventually obviously did all that. But in the initial stages, it was can I make a product that somebody wants to buy? And that was,
I actually think that, do I get my 10 seconds?
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
I might take a few more. That's okay. what I'll say is, Katie, it's interesting because I was not full-time in the business until last year.
Okay.
So this is the middle of 2019 is when I joined full-time. We started the business in 2014. And I think what's interesting is, you talk about roles and responsibilities. We felt like in the beginning, it was literally just about learning as much as possible, as Juliana said. And can we find a way to create products that people are willing to spend money on? And just learning to do that, because I feel like the other pieces, the other roles, sales, marketing, ops, we could solve that along the way, but none of that in my opinion, at least at the very outset when we had three designs on Etsy, was necessary if we couldn't, you know, if there was no need to figure out how to do these things. And I think a theme, we may continue to talk more about this, to me is kind of pushing ourselves to learn and grow. And then when we had opportunities, you know, for example, when PaperSource became a good customer of ours, when we started to get sales reps, I think that was opportunities for us to say, okay, how do we figure out more of the back end to support this?
Yeah.
I don't think it would have made sense to build up the operational wherewithal for us, for our business, until we actually said, okay, now there's demand for it. Let's go and figure out some of these things.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of that sort of stuff where it was kind of trying to put stakes in the ground that were a little bit more aggressive than we felt comfortable with. I know NSS, the first time, was definitely that.
Oh my God.
We were not ready by any means, but we saw it as a way to say, hey, we didn't know, as you gathered from what Juliana said, we didn't come from this industry. So we early on said, our biggest goal is to learn as much as possible. Let's go to NSS. And if we commit to saying yes several months ahead of time, for you listeners at home, I don't necessarily recommend this approach, but for us, it made sense just as a means to commit to learning. This was it for us. If you have proof to product, you're already ahead of the game for where we were at the time. But we just needed to immerse ourselves in that community, meet suppliers, meet reps, just even understand how the business works.
Yeah.
And by saying yes to NSS, we figured it out. You know, with Google and with determination, you can get a long ways. Might not be as efficient with your spending as you would want to be, but, you know, we learned a ton. That was not an answer to your question about roles, but...
Well, Rye, you had said this in the first couple months, actually, Katie, of after we launched this Etsy store. Ryan's like, you know, my classmate, Marina, is super into like the design industry and specifically like sort of the craft design gift industry. She not only does she have a background in tech, but she was also a wedding planner and an event planner. So she had a lot of sort of understanding about like the logistics of both of those worlds. And she's just really, just a wonderful human being and is actually like very much family to us at this point, even beyond being a best friend. She is absolutely family. So from that first stage in terms of like how we were delegating, Ryan's like, we definitely need somebody that's not just you and me, Jules. Like we need somebody who has a business background, but is not from such like a cookie cutter business background, somebody that's really fun and loves design and gets you and also maybe gets me. And so his suggestion was like, let's see if Marina wants to partner. I didn't even know that was possible. So, like you can ask someone to like partner, even though you don't know what the heck you're doing. That sounds cool. And God bless Marina for saying yes. And she actually, in terms of roles and responsibilities, even in those early stages, she understood, you know, sort of my personality and wanting to just design and make as much as possible because that's how I learn and absorb. And also understanding, you know, where Ryan was coming from a more traditional business background, you know, needing kind of parameters and meeting deadlines, meeting financial goals, setting budgets. And I hate that I am sort of the stereotype of the wild and crazy artist, but sometimes it's important to just simply embrace who you are, whether it is archetypal or not. You know, I really don't come from at all in any way, shape, or form a business background, but I did have a parent that was from a traditional background, a traditional business background. I had two working parents, both successful in their fields and just determined in different avenue on different avenues. So yeah. It did help that I had, you know, a gender role model, if you will. I had two people in my household, two parent figures that pursued their passions professionally. So I knew that it could be done. And I just, so in terms of like managing personalities, like Marina definitely managed both of our personalities and caters to kind of like our style of how we want to get things done. Brian, I feel like, has a way better way of
I'll be quick, I promise.
Go ahead.
I promise this will be quick. We didn't answer your question at all, and we probably talked for 3 minutes. But the short answer is Marina is probably now, and this is blended over time, Marina is like ops and a little bit marriage therapist. I am more on sales and business development. I think naturally I've trended towards the sales outreach, a little bit of marketing piece. Marina's kind of back-end ops behind the scenes, making sure that things are running efficiently,
nice.
A little bit on the hiring as well. And Juju is definitely creative and product. It actually, I think, is starting to find itself naturally. Marina and I had more overlap in skill sets, which for a while was a little tricky. In some ways, the fact that Juju is an artist and I'm the opposite works really well. I don't think this would work otherwise because we would just fight. I think if we were constantly overlapping on what we were supposed to be working on and our ideas, but we have different, completely different skill sets. So that works out well. And Marina makes sure that we, when we do have disagreements, I'll call them disagreements, that they are smoothed over as well as they can be.
So I've had the privilege of meeting all three of you. All three of you guys came to Paper Camp, and I loved seeing and talk. Well, I loved talking to each of you individually because I could see where your brains were going. I could see your individual strengths of what you were like focused on. But then watching the three of you collectively, like even during breaks and stuff, I mean, you guys were really good about networking with other people during the event and everything, but watching the three of you kind of like go into a huddle and like talk things out of what we'd ever, whatever we'd talked about in the last session, you know, and just the synergy was so apparent from the start. So one, I want to echo, like, I love what you said about, you know, you don't have to have these like distinct roles and responsibilities at the very beginning. This is a journey, right? It's an evolution. And especially when you have three people in the business that are all managing it, there's going to be times where you want that fluidity, right? You don't want it to be that you're just, and we're small businesses, so we have to be fluid. So
yes,
I think it's really great for everyone to hear one, how, you know, things were a little looser at the beginning. Now they're a little more formalized, but they're still agile and flexible, which is great. And I just want to compliment you guys again, because I think it has been very fun for me to meet each of you individually, spend time with you individually, and then also see the collective like powerhouse that is your leadership team. You guys are doing a great.
That is so nice. Thank you.
I mean it. I mean it.
I'm gonna take that so soundbite freaking and play it when we're having disagreements in our meetings.
There you go. Just put it on replay.
That's really. Thank you. And we thank you. And we cherish each other. We actually, maybe it's valuable to know that when we did decide to set up an LLC and we did meet with a lawyer, the lawyer said, well, what is the number one most important goal for you guys? And we said collectively to stay friends, you know, because this was before Ryan and I were even engaged. Mm-hmm. Like we, first and foremost, you know, before, you know, it's like, who gets what and who, how are we? We want to stay friends. So all our decision-making will come from a place of compassion and like human understanding and valuing the relationships.
That's awesome. If you sell wholesale, there is a high likelihood that you have received at least one email about virtual trade shows. This year, we have seen in real life shows move online for the first time, as well as brand new platforms opening up for wholesale shopping. And you might be asking yourself, should I be participating in these shows? How do I know which of these virtual shows is right for me? And is this a good investment of my time, money, and energy? Now, before you commit to virtual trade shows, make sure that you are asking the right questions and weighing all of the pros and cons. I have put together a free checklist to make this super simple for you. Download your copy at prooftoproduct.com/virtual-show-checklist. Okay, I want to talk about a campaign that you guys launched earlier this year. It's called the 18 Million Thanks Campaign. How did this big dream come about? How did you get this campaign rolling? What did you focus on first? Like, I have a zillion questions about this, but first tell everybody what it is, and then we can talk about the backstory to it.
Right, all you, babe.
Awesome, I'm ready. I was born, I now have about 4 months to have prepared for this answer.
Yeah.
So the 18 Million Thanks campaign is a campaign to thank our healthcare and our frontline workers. We have greeting cards. There's a lot of gratitude that needs to be spread. There are 18 million healthcare workers in the United States. And so, you know, Katie, you asked where this came from. It really came, I want to say, the day that we went into lockdown here in the Bay Area. I think there was just an overwhelming feeling of helplessness and wanting to figure out how we could make a positive impact and the best way we could contribute. You know, we were thinking to ourselves, gosh, there's not enough PPE for our healthcare workers. We need more ventilators. The economy went from roaring into a recession like that, you know, in the blink of an eye. And so we just were racking our brains for how do we help? I mean, we really do. This is going to sound cheesy, but honestly, we really do believe in good juju. We want to know how we can help. And I think that's just our personalities. We wanted to see in a time where there was so much strife, what could we do to make an impact? And so what we ultimately came to was, this is an industry and a community that's built upon gratitude. It is just so prevalent in all of the people who are listening to this podcast and everybody that we've met. And when we have greeting cards, and so we thought, why don't we see if, you know, if we have this idea to send greeting cards to our 2 million healthcare workers, why don't we pitch this thought to a few of our friends? It was a resounding yes. I think we talked to about, I don't know, it was 13 or 14 brands initially, and we launched with 14 brands.
When he says friends and brands, like in the stationery industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we said, hey, this is what we want to do. We want to get people excited about the idea. And so we launched alongside, I think, 14 stationery brands and have been spreading the word ever since.
That's incredible. And you guys are making it so that people can easily send cards to healthcare workers in different areas of the country, right?
Correct. Yes. Yeah, we actually, as we got the idea rolling, between when we had the idea and launched it, we knew that there would be a few hurdles. One of them was getting the right hospital addresses, because, you know, this is silly, but at first we thought, oh, we'll just go on their website and get the address. But you realize a lot of these hospitals have 14 buildings. And if you send it to the main address, you have no idea what's going to happen to that letter.
Right.
So we literally called about 150 hospitals to get a person who said, I, you know, so-and-so can receive these letters. Here is my address. Attention to, send it to me. I know what you're doing. I love this. And I will make sure that people get those letters. We also, believe it or not, we heard from some hospitals who said, I love this idea, but we're so slammed with COVID cases that this would be a burden for us. And I didn't even think about that at first, but we said, my gosh, the last thing we want to do is be a right. burden to anybody during this time. So if you don't want to receive letters, we will absolutely not put you on our list.
Yeah.
And we got about 60 or more of the biggest hospitals in the US to join.
And with like a dedicated person saying, like on the address, it'll say the 18, you know, 18 million thanks projects. Like, so there's like a little department that receives it. So it's awesome.
That's incredible. So you had to you come up with this idea, you reach out to colleagues in the industry who you think would be on board, but then you have to dive deep into creating this whole system. Like you said, these hospitals are now having to designate one person to receive these, to distribute mm-hmm. them, like, that's a pretty big undertaking. I mean, did it feel seamless or did it feel like it was tough to get going?
Right. You got to talk about Wonder Dogs too. The amazing immigrant women-owned web development team that was like, yes, we will help you guys. And, you know, let us help you put this on a platform.
I mean, echoing what Juliana said, they were amazing. When we had the idea and said, well, we're going to want a website because that's going to be a place where we can count cards, figure, you know, just be a central place where people can go to understand more about what's happening. We reached out to this development company who also went to Stanford, and I said, we have this idea. They said, great, the typical turnaround time for a brand new website from, you know, start to finish is, I don't know what they said. It was a couple months. And I said, well, how about a week and a half? And they were like, and I was like, also our budget right now, given the pandemic, is low, but can we work with this? And they were like, honestly, we love working for charity. This is an amazing cause. We'll see what we can do and change our processes to make this work. And they did. I mean, they turned around an incredible website on our budget. You know, they didn't go through their typical full web development, but they found an incredibly elegant solution on our budget.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
And made that work. And then from there, honestly, Katie, I think what was so beautiful is the organic response when we launched. And by launch, I mean, said on Instagram, this is the campaign to thank our healthcare workers. I want to say it was less than a month before we had more than 50 stationery companies who said, we want to participate and spread the word as well. We're now over 60. We've had brands in the organic food space. We've had brands far beyond the stationery industry excited to spread the word and help us thank our healthcare workers. And it's just been so beautiful to, you know, there have been bumps along the road. And admittedly, for those listening, we are doing our best to keep up with everything. We've been trying, like, it's a lot to run our business and try and manage a campaign when it's just us.
Yeah. I mean, what Ryan is not saying is that he spends until midnight every night working on, you know, posting templates and rounding up these sort of weekly newsletters about the campaign that he sends out to, you know, every state participating stationery company that is, and I am illustrating and putting posting assets in a folder so that everyone can have posting assets. I mean, when Ryan initially pitched this idea to me, and this is not going to put myself in a great light, but I think it's important for people to know, like, initially I said, I can't do this. Like, I have too much work. I can't do this. And Ryan's like, if we don't do this, what are we doing with our lives? Like, our name is Good Juju, and this is what we, you know, we have to walk the walk here. Like, if we're not going to uplift our, you know, our fellow man and our woman and healthcare industry and our own industry, like, we are not walking the walk. And so Ryan will not ever give himself that credit, probably publicly, but I think it's much owed. And Ryan, you work very, very hard to keep this, the nuts and bolts of this going. So
well, I appreciate that. I also want to say your perspective and your pragmatism is oftentimes a beautiful blend, because if I'm being honest, if I had properly forecast the amount of work that I'd be doing on this, I might have gone into it a little differently. I joke. We probably would have still been doing this, but like it has been a lot. But you know what keeps us going is the testimonials, the healthcare workers who write to us, the letters we literally get written back to us saying thank you for sending a thank you.
The
parents who are like, you know, Katie, what's funny is you talk about one of my favorite bumps in this was like the third day after launch, I got kind of a scathing email from someone who was like, I want to write a letter to every single hospital on your list. And there are two hospitals with typos and they have the wrong address listed and I don't know how to write to them. So can you fix it ASAP? And I was like, you know, I can't even be mad that you're upset with me, because that is incredible. You are an awesome human and you just wrote 56 letters or whatever. I'm going to fix those for you. I'm sorry. And right. Here you go. They're fixed. And, and like to hear from parents who are like, you know, I sat down at the table with our kids and I taught them about gratitude and I taught them how to write a letter and why this is so important. Like if I start thinking about it more, I'll probably get emotional on your podcast, which isn't appropriate, but no, it's really, really sweet.
I think it's been incredible. I think you guys have done an incredible job of building this campaign, including so many other business owners in this, and just making such a difference in the lives of the healthcare workers, the families that are in the hospital, just so many. So if people want to get involved, if small businesses want to get involved, what should they do? How can they get involved?
Very easy. They can email us at Good Juju Inc. They can email info@18millionthanks.com. They can DM us through Instagram @18millionthanks. And ultimately, what we want them to do is just spread the word about the campaign. We have visual assets and copy. So literally we want to make it as easy as people want, or they can elaborate on it. But if people want to spread the word, we literally have posts where they can copy paste and they'll be spreading the word. Because ultimately, the goal is just to send thank you letters. We want to keep it simple.
Yeah.
Whoever wants to send a thank you letter, we have hospital addresses. We just want to spread gratitude. So you can promote it. You can write letters yourself. You can email us to find out, you know, what maybe kind of new initiative within the campaign we're running. But I would say going to the website, writing a letter, emailing us, those are all wonderful ways. That was the hope, is that it would be simple when other brands, you know, we've had brands, as mentioned, in other industries reach out. It's like, what can we do? It's like, well, we just want to write letters and spread gratitude to people. So if you have innovative ways to do that, like if you want to film, we have one brand that's filming a really awesome video about the whole process, and they're going to launch that on Instagram hopefully tomorrow. But like that, you can be really creative about it, or you can just write a letter.
I think that's amazing. I think you've made it simple and easy for both brands to participate, as well as general consumers and public. So thank you for creating this amazing and impactful campaign, and for dedicating your time, which is such a scarce resource right now for everyone, and particularly you two who are running another business. You have a small child at home. You are navigating, you know, all of us are navigating different types of things with what's going on with COVID and everything else. But I just want to acknowledge that this is and was an incredible thing for you to put together and launch with everything else that you have going on. It was very selfless of you to do that.
Well, thank you. I want to make a plug for this being, you know, beneficial for our business as well. And I don't mean it cynically. I mean it truly in the hope of what I believe in is good juju brings and begets good juju. Meaning we have made relationships that I think will benefit us in our business down the road. And I think my genuine belief is that, you know, when you put good out into the world, it comes back to you, and you don't even know how that may benefit you. Like these developers we talked about, we wouldn't have met them if we didn't do this campaign, and they're actually redeveloping our entire Good Juju Inc. website, and it's going to be amazing.
That's so awesome.
Yes. That is totally worth saying. Like, I remember in that initial stages when Ryan's like, oh, we need developers and we're not going to be able to afford like a full price anything for an additional website. But saying to Wonder Dogs, like, if you would meet us where we can be met for the, for 18 million things, like maybe we could do a full rebrand for our own, you know, for our own company and potentially like match you more evenly with what you normally, your normal rate. And having those conversations, I think has been probably pretty vital to all companies right now, you know, having those fluid conversations. Yeah.
Okay. I want to shift back to Good Juju. We've talked about a lot of different things, but I want to focus on what do you guys have coming up next? What are you focused on for the remainder of this year and next year? What kind of new products are you developing, or what do you want to tell everybody about?
Oh my gosh. Ryan, are you okay if I launch in here? I promise I won't be
Okay. Absolutely.
So we actually, the silver lining for us of the pandemic has been, okay, our business model was like over 95% in the brick and mortar stores. And obviously that went to absolutely zero for many months. And while it is trickling back in March, when we initially sheltered in place, we thought, okay, you know what, we need to take a faster and more in-depth look at our direct-to-consumer model and experience. And I did not anticipate the world, quote unquote, bouncing back. So I was like, this is going to be if we're going to continue this business, we need to reevaluate our brand as a direct to consumer brand and what that means experientially from website and even just our packaging and all of that. So what to expect from us for the rest of the year? A gorgeous rebrand.
that's a huge project. It's a huge undertaking. Yeah.
And the minutia of that was fascinating. You know, I've loved our branding. You know, our branding really served us in those initial 5 years. You know, I was in my 20s, quite frankly. Like that's and kind of the world was a little bit just the way that the gift and card industry was. It just had a different feel, and I think we have grown up along with our brand and products, and I want that sophistication to be received immediately, visually, aesthetically, and in every way, shape, and form. And I wanted our logo to represent that. I wanted also, because my dream really is to have Good Juju Inc. be also Good Juju textiles and, you know, wallpaper, all home goods and things that you really make your home a true reflection of who you are, and something that is not just fast and easy and throwawayable. These are heirloom pieces. These are, you know, quality pieces that speak to your soul. And so I wanted to make sure that our rebrand could allow for room to grow in those various industries and would also give us enough time to do our due diligence in terms of researching manufacturers and getting those samples. And so something that could really stand the test of time, if you will.
I love that.
Yeah. And I'm talking about, like, I wish we could have recorded ourselves looking at color choices and shifting. Oh, the font choices, y'all, the font choices. I could write a thesis about font choices and typography, but like I'm so excited and proud of, I call it a brand glow up, because it's not a rebrand. We still us. It's just a glow up, you know, like we really, I think this speaks to the true capacity of what our brand is, and not just where it is right now and what we even sell right now. And it does speak to what we sell right now, our beautiful.
Right. But I love that you mentioned the room to grow, because that's when we do rebrand, that's what we should be thinking. Not where we're at right now, but where we want to be going, and how can we take that brand identity and the messaging and all of it and push that towards the direction we're running in.
And I will say, I think, you know, it's funny, before this interview, Katie, I revisited our 2020 strategic plan that we created back in December 2019. And we can totally rip that up, because it was all about continuing on the path that we were a wholesale business, and we were excited about, you know, we had gone in 2 years from no sales reps to about 35. And we were just about continuing that business. And you know, that's not gone. It's just this whole pandemic has just shifted. And we knew that at some point, we were thinking like middle of 2021, maybe end of the next year, we would do this brand, what do we call it? A glow up? Is that right?
Glow up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to get that better. So, but we knew that was in the cards, just not soon. So it was kind of like the plan, the long-term plan, I don't think has changed. It's just the order of operations. Like, okay, well, we knew we wanted to invest in looking into digital marketing for e-commerce. That was something we wanted to do. It's just now is a good time. If we thought it would
we're gonna do it.
2 years, like, oh, now is a great time for that. And we ultimately think this will serve our wholesale business as well. Like having new products, having a sophisticated brand will help. It's just, you know, and we want to continue to find ways to partner with our brick and mortar customers. But, you know, it's just there's so much uncertainty that I think we were like, let's try and do these things that we have control over while we have the time.
Yes.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Ryan, of like, right now, all of us need to be looking to the things that we can control, the decisions we can make and move forward on. You know, there's so much uncertainty and there's so many things outside of our control, but which can feel overwhelming, but that's where we need to just focus on the things that we can take action on. So I have very much enjoyed this conversation. Before we head off, I would love for you to tell everyone where they can find you online, on social media, and all of that. We'll include these links in the show notes too.
Oh yeah. GoJujuInc.com. And ink is with a K, like the ink of a pen. And Juju is J-U-J-U. GoJujuInc.com. And we're on all social media is at GoJujuInc.
Well, thank you both for your time today, for sharing your story. And just, it was a joy to see both of your faces today. So thank you.
Katie, you too.
Thank you so much, Katie.
All right, friends, I love what the team at Good Juju Inc. is doing with the 18 million thanks campaign. Be sure to check the show notes for links on how you can participate both individually as well as through your business. And before we sign off, I wanted to tell you about a new feature we recently added to Proof to Product Labs. Each month, we are hosting live coffee chats where community members are coming and sharing their successes and expertise. We've had coffee chats about Instagram giveaways, subscription sales models, and we recently had a wholesale buyer come and answer questions from the group. It's a great way to connect and for everyone to share their individual expertise. If you are looking for support, coaching from experts, and a community of people who understand what it is like to start and build a business, I invite you to join us. Head to prooftoproduct.com/labs and sign up for our 12-month group coaching program. All right, friends, that's all I have for you today. Have a great week, and I'll see you next week.